This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 285. Today, AC and I are going to look back at our 2018 wishes, recorded live January 3rd, 2019. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. AC!
Hey man, how's it going, CJ?
2019, buddy, we made it.
We made it, and so did all of you who are listening.
That's right. Thanks for sticking with us through 2018. It was kind of a tumultuous year in a number of different ways, so I really appreciate everybody sticking with us.
I saw a lot of people saying that on like Facebook about, you know, can't wait for 2018 to be gone and all this stuff. And I'm like, at the end of 2017, I think it was, is when a bunch of people died, a bunch of famous people died, like Carrie Fisher and a couple other ones, I think.
Is that 2017? Is that?
But I kind of look back at 2018, I was like, was 2018 really a bad year?
It wasn't bad for me, no. It was tumultuous. Not necessarily in a bad way. It was very dramatic.
Okay, so curious. How so? Because I saw that same thing, and it's like, from a general point of view, like tumultuous from like tech space, from world space, from...
I think a bit of both. So like, by tumultuous, what I mean, for me at least, 2018 was tumultuous. It felt tumultuous, A, because of selling our business and going through all the process of all of that sort of stuff in a great way, but it was a lot of drama and a lot of like emotion and a lot of stress and a lot of all of that. But then also from the tech scene, things like, I think we had more like public congressional hearings in the US with tech leaders this year than ever before.
Yeah.
At least I don't know if that's factually correct or not, but that's how it felt to me.
We had more media press.
Zuckerberg being raked over the coals, well, sort of raked over the coals, like by a bunch of people that don't understand tech, but yeah.
By raking over the coals, you kind of mean like dragged over mulch.
Correct. We had Sundar Pichai, right? Head of Google, being asked about whether he felt like the iPhone was a good product for his company.
Man, those were so...
The memes are priceless.
God, those two instances, with Zuckerberg, I mean, I get, you know, why were they there? Was it a big deal? Cambridge Analytica, blah, blah. Yes, I get that.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I'm not diminishing that, but just those two experiences were just the most depressing in terms of like, these are our elected leaders. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it? So other things tumultuous, GDPR in the tech sector that was introduced and kind of caused a bunch of swirl and suffering, some might say. It just felt like there was a lot of drama in 2018 for tech. And at least to me, I felt that way.
Yeah.
I think it was a great year for me personally. I think it was an awesome year. But yeah, tumultuous just in terms of a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Looking back at it, we've talked about that. Yeah, I see your point of view. Yeah, personally, it wasn't a bad year. I wouldn't say it was a great year. It wasn't a bad year. It was good. First year of running my solo business with Voitanos, and I'm happy with the way it came out. There's a lot of stuff, of course, you always, how do you want to improve and change and all that? And a lot of stuff I'd like to do there. I just haven't done it yet. But yeah, it's good stuff. Looking forward to 2019. I have not hit my stride yet. It's only January the 3rd, and I haven't hit my stride yet. We'll talk about it in a bit. It's the last month for me just felt like it was just pedal to the metal. And I finally just gave up the week of Christmas. When my kids got out of school, the week of Christmas and last week, I was like, you know what? I'm not working. And I usually do, as somebody who works from home, which I get as an independent, and a lot of people, your own business, and then a lot of people that are our listeners probably are in the same boat. There's no such thing as a vacation. I mean, there is, but you can't really just completely tune out because you're always like on your business and looking at stuff. And I felt like from leading up to the week of Thanksgiving and the last week of November, it was Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So I spent a lot of time trying to get ready for that. And then the 2 weeks following that, I did a conference in Denmark and then I did a conference in Chicago. And the week after that, I was home for a week. But then the week after that, I did a webcast class for 24 hours over 4 days. And finally, I was like, you know what? Kids got out of school. I was like, you know what? I'm done. And I just, everything that I was supposed to be doing, I wrapped up all the things that I was supposed to be working on. I had one project I was doing for a client, wrapped everything up. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to the office. I didn't take my laptop out of the office. I barely did any email. I used Boomerang very liberally. And was like going, you know what? They can deal with this the first week of January. They can wait for a response first week of January. I'm not interested. And it's bad. It was aggressive. And
it sounds very, it's great you can do that. That's awesome.
It was great. But I will tell you, it's a little stressful now because now it's all kind of piled up and today's the first day.
No way, does it?
Yeah. We were supposed to do a podcast last week. I mean, I'm sure our listeners noticed that nothing came out the first week of January. And I think I texted you on Thursday morning. I'm like, can we punt? Because I just don't want to do anything. I'm hanging out with kids. I don't want to deal with this today.
No. Yeah. Hey, I just looked up tumultuous in the dictionary because I thought maybe I've got the word totally muddled up. But it says excited, confused, or disorderly. There you go. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But disorderly. Synonyms, stormy. Yes, it was a little stormy, wasn't it?
We're not going political. Let's not go political.
I couldn't help myself on that one. That was kind of funny. Passionate, intense, explosive, violent, volatile. There you go.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
With that said, we actually made a change last year. So this time last year, we did a show where we look back at our previous year's predictions. And instead of making forward-looking predictions, we made forward-looking wishes instead. And we departed from our previous years where we felt like or said, hey, what do you think? What are your predictions for the coming year? And instead of predictions, we made wishes where we could be a little bit more outlandish, I think. Because previously we marked ourselves, right? We said we had a score out of 3 points or whatever. And we marked ourselves against our predictions. And so we didn't want to get them wrong, right? Because you want to score reasonably well.
Right, yeah. Set ourselves up for success.
Exactly. So instead of predictions that we're going to mark ourselves against, we made wishes. And we could be a bit more outlandish and a little bit more crazy and just what we'd really love to see happen. And so this episode, we thought we'd look back at that episode, which I think was episode 233, something like that. Yeah, 233. It was actually the episode where Meltdown and Spectre were discussed, which were two shockingly heinous episodes from a year gone by.
Go
listen to episode 233. It's entitled Meltdown, Spectre, Predictions, Wishes, and Thoughts from 2017 and for 2018. And so we're going to review our wishes from that last show 1 year ago. And it's really funny, actually, because when we do this, often we can't remember what we wished for. And in years gone by, we've had to go back and listen to the shows to figure out what wishes we'd made. But actually, you made a great choice last year, and you wrote down what our wishes were so we could go and pull it from planning document for that show. So it was a little easier this year, which was very helpful.
Yeah, made life a little bit easier for us.
But before we get into that, what have you been up to over Christmas? So you had a nice break. You had a good vacation. Mm. Did you get anything cool done while you were off?
I did. Well, it's almost done. I am going to blog this up eventually, hopefully soon. We talked a little bit about it in the last time we got together, maybe two times ago, we got together, that I did a fun little do-it-yourself project. I took the existing, I basically did my own home security system. And so what this did, there's a Kickstarter that came out about a year ago called Connected with a K. So you go to connected.io. And what he did is he built these little circuit boards, little PCBs. And you have like a main one and a couple different add-ons. And you take your existing sensors that you have in your existing wired security system. So window, door sensors, et cetera, smoke, motion detector, et cetera. And you take them out of your old security system or disconnect them from your old security system and you hook them up into these new boards. And really all it does is it just exposes each sensor as a thing in SmartThings. That's all it does. And so I went through the process of disconnecting my old security system and all the old parts, extending wires, building a board to, you know, terminal strips and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and creating my own zones. So went from like a 6-zone system to a 22-zone system. So now instead of one zone covering like 3 doors and a handful of windows, and when the thing flashes on the door, it's like this, you know, there's something open in this area. And you're like, what the, is this, what the hell is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now it's pretty cool because now I have a little Kindle Fire tablet sitting by the back door and it shows me, oh, the front door is open or one of the windows in the kitchen is open. It's really cool. And it's almost like your own little dashboard for your entire home. So like I'll walk inside now and I can be like, hey, shut the garage door, shut the double garage door, the single garage door, and turn off the light in the kitchen or turn off the coffee pot. And it's all like this little SmartThings kind of control panel and it's mounted on the wall. And so
I've seen the photos of your wiring. It's definitely something you should post about because it looks like a really cool project.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of, I mean, I like microcontroller stuff. I like playing with the, you know, building your own circuits and all that stuff. I don't have a background in it. I'm all software. And so it's really cool it's a lot of fun to sit down and to do something with your hands and to put this thing together. So it took a lot longer than I expected. I didn't think it would take me as long as it did, but it did. Learned a lot and everything's working right now. And I just there's a couple little configuration things I have to do. And I have 2 new tablets showing up today. Is the old, a 4-year-old Kindle Fire is not exactly a great device. It's a little laggy for the rest of the family, but it's been a lot of fun. So I'll write up a blog post explaining. And I think that, you know, you and I next week are going to geek out a bit on it and we'll talk a little bit more in detail about it. So my post will be out by then that we can reference it. So, but you did, cool. You were doing something similar to this, in the same kind of vein of the home automation kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got started. I think I mentioned on the show a couple of times in the past, I got started on replacing the lighting or the switches and all that in our new house with smart switches. And I was also writing some code. The project part was writing some code so that when I hit a scene button on one of the physical light switches in the house, that I can control some automated blinds that we have downstairs. So that when I hit the movie scene, it's going to put the blinds down. Mm. I got started writing that code. And then as I sort of went through this journey, I found this home automation hub system. It's an open source thing called OpenHab. And they have plugins and all that sort of stuff that you can write. And so I thought, rather than just trying to run this code on my own computer, why don't I go write a plugin for that thing? And so I got finished on my V1 of that recently. But anyway, well, I'll talk more about it next week. But yeah, so my home automation project was A, replacing a whole bunch of lights, and then B, building a software plugin for this OpenHab module for my automated blinds so that when I push movie button, it's going to put down my blinds to a certain level and set a scene in the house.
Yeah, very cool.
So a little bit of hardware, a little bit of software. Yeah. Next thing I want to do is go hook it up into Azure. So I can do like App Insights and IoT Hub and everything on all my lighting and smart devices in my house.
That sounds really familiar. That's another thing. I found something with SmartThings actually this morning. The hard part of what I was doing was all the getting everything hooked up. Now the software and configuration side, now I can do everything from my desk. And like with SmartThings, it's hard to do like a workflow, right? To do like an if this, then that kind of a thing. And there was something that was around a couple of years ago or about a year ago when I first started getting into this called Core.
Yeah, like the piston thing.
Yeah. And a piston is basically like a workflow. They eventually, it looks like Core was retired and a guy, either the same guy or a different guy, took it over and created something called WebCore. And it's a much better workflow designer because you do everything not through the phone. You can do it through the phone, but you do everything through a browser interface now.
Mm, nice.
And you can do HTTP posts and all that stuff. So I want to, same thing. I want to go through and be able to watch things that are going on, log it over to App Insights, kind of track usages going on. I mean, it's nice as I have a panel that's up from Action Tiles that is basically, that's the interface I use my tablets. But I've got it up in a browser window off to the side where we're doing our podcast. I'm watching when my wife and the kids get home from an orthodontist appointment. And I've got my one of my cameras that look at the driveway is refreshing every 1 second. And I can see when I know they're getting close because the presence on their phones is going to change. And I can tell that when they get close.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll dive into the projects next week, talk about where we might take them and how the cloud is involved as well, like how some of the stuff works next week.
It's cool. It's fun stuff. They're fun projects. And so I think we both kind of did it part as a hobby kind of a thing. It is a geeky side of it too. So it is fun.
Yeah.
And I liked it because it was out of my comfort zone. So I had a lot of stuff that I had to learn.
Yeah.
Including how to deal with the pain of getting both of your forearms shocked really bad that my wife doesn't know about. And for about 5 hours, I had this like serious, like achy pain from my fingertips up halfway up my biceps. I'm just like,
oh,
kids are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing. Don't tell mom that I shocked the shit out of my arm. So
got educated. Nothing to worry about. Nice. It's all part of it.
Yeah.
Cool. Why don't we hear from one of our excellent sponsors, and then let's get into reviewing our wishes.
Inbox Zero is a thing of the past. We're all so inundated with email, and that's where Sanebox comes in. Think of it as an EMT for your email. As messages flow in, Sanebox does the triage for you. Sane Later sifts all distracting stuff out of your inbox so you can focus on only the important emails. That's just a taste. It also has nifty features like Sane Black Hole and Sane Reminders. Best of all, you can use Sanebox with any email client or phone, anywhere you check your email. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit sanebox.com/MSCloudShow. Start your free trial and get a $25 credit.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No-code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC.
Struggling to reproduce problems in your codebase? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring, unlike anything you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality. Try Raygun free at raygun.com today.
Cool. Okay. So looking back at 2018 wishes, AC, we were very wishing for a reasonable amount. This would be funny to go through and you're like, do you think you got your wish? Let's start with you. I'll read out your wishes and then you can see, you can have some commentary on how you feel about whether your wish came true. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. So your first wish, Office 365, simplify options, and in brackets, tasks, forums, external users. I think I know how this one's about to play out.
Yeah. I wish we had a sound effect for a toilet right now.
But there's definitely a roll forward wish. Like you can choose to roll it forward.
Yeah, yeah. Can I use my unused minutes in 2019?
That's right. Yeah, these are rollover wishes. Yeah, they don't expire.
Yeah, I guess in this case, I was really hoping that Microsoft would, or specifically Office 365, would go with like a less is more. I mean, let's shut down a bunch of things. The to-do app, for tasks at least, the to-do app got better. I'm using it now over using Wunderlist. But I mean, we still got tasks in To-Do and tasks in Outlook and tasks in Planner. And it's just, to me, and task list in SharePoint. It's just dumb to me that we have this many things. Same thing with forums. I mean, where do you post something? Oh, I post it over in Yammer. No, I post it over in Tech Community. No, now I'm going to post it over here into this ask request list, which kind of ties into my external users request too, which we, you know, talked about my frustration with external users and Teams a couple of weeks ago and how that went incredibly poorly. So, I mean, I guess external users is working with Teams, but I mean, this stuff still isn't clean or intuitive to the layperson. So no, I don't think I got anything of what I was really looking for. I mean, maybe like a half a point on external users working with teams. But other than that, no, that was my wishes. And I just feel like, what's the saying? I'm sorry for any offense to anybody, but what's the saying? You can wish in one hand and take a dump in the other, and we'll see which one is more productive.
Oh, brutal. Yeah, that's fair.
So my hands are clean right now.
It definitely feels like the more is more is going on, not the less is more. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that is the one thing that I really like about like Apple or Google is that it doesn't feel like there's this shotgun kind of approach by all these different teams. You still have people building to the org chart in Redmond. And it just, you and I were in a conversation a couple of weeks ago with some other people where we just kind of vented saying, you know, I wish that there was someone like a Steve Jobs at Microsoft that had the overall view and was just kind of like going, no, you three teams don't do the same damn thing. You win, you two lose, go back to doing something else. So it just...
Yeah. It's hard for Microsoft to get away from. I mean, that mentality of you three teams don't compete with each other, that was encouraged earlier on at Microsoft. Yeah. Like one of Gates's tactics was to get teams to compete with each other and see who wins, who pulls together better products and stuff. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit of that hangover still left. But yeah, something to be said for a good dictatorship every now and again.
Yeah, man. Stalin had it right. No,
oh, geez, steady on.
I used to have a different one I would say. And someone's like, it really doesn't come across the right way to certain people. And I'm like,
kind of the right level of humor, huh?
Yeah, I'm not being serious. I'm not at all being serious. I'm not a fan of Stalin or Castro or Hitler. That's not what I was trying to say. So you had a prediction here. You want to go back and forth?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So let's go switch over one of your predictions. So, I guess it's a continuation of what we were just talking about, which is your first one was Office 365, integration and simplification versus more junk in the trunk. What do you think you did?
Terrible. Like nothing has changed in this regard. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think my commentary around this last time were things like, I'd love to see an Office 365 like SPFX being the UI extensibility model across the board. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've seen any of that. We've seen more fragmentation between Teams and SharePoint in terms of developer model. So from a dev model point of view in that regard, I don't think I got my wish. I do think we did get some nice integration between Teams and SharePoint though this year, you know, with like tabs coming up in Teams and all that sort of stuff. A bit more sanity in that regard. But yeah, certainly not simplification and plenty of junk in the trunk. It's like two cats fighting in a bag. You know, it's like, it's just, it's bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's fair. I mean, that is the problem. It's like the integration simplification. The other thing too, kind of going on to your piece too, is that from the simplification side, they almost kind of went more on the complication side, especially at the end of the year, given the people who have been using Microsoft Flow and getting the licensing change with a swift kick in the nuts, it just seemed just like...
Yep. Kaizala.
Oh, God.
Add some complexity to your Office 365. There you go. I mean, I get it. I sort of get it. But yeah, it's... yeah.
Kaizala, you think you understood everything, how we worked.
Just when you thought it was safe.
We're going to confuse you even more.
Soft Kaizala, just when you thought it was safe to come out of the closet.
We're taking a page from the actor Azure AD team. Watch what we do now.
Yeah. 2019 will bring confusion.
As a preview, guys, things are about to get better in this episode. We're being really catty right now.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to get it out. Like it's part of my therapy. Yeah.
My 2019 started with a bitch fest.
Yeah. The Woosah. This is the Woosah episode. All right. So your next one, AC, Office 365 themed again. Office 365, more focus for small and startup business. Employees, contractors who aren't in the...
Organization.
I think we missed off the end there. Yeah.
My positive comment doesn't start here. The episode will be positive on the next one. But no, they didn't do anything with this. I mean, and I don't remember if it was last year you said this or if it was the year before, but you said something on the show that was like the baseball bat to the head for me. Microsoft does not have the small business, the entrepreneur, the startup business. That's not their target. They just don't even try with that target. It's always an afterthought. It's not part of the planning. Microsoft is going to focus on the enterprise. They want the Fortune 500 business and the companies that are striving to be in that model that have got hundreds or thousands of or tens of thousands of employees. That's who they build tools for. That's who they work for. That's their productivity suite. I don't think that even on the Azure side, while it is Azure is a fantastic offering for a startup business and for small businesses like what you and I are trying to do, they don't focus on that. They don't focus on that, and that's that. They don't design features for that. They focus on the big stuff. So it still remains to be a wish. I've given up on that wish for Office 365. I mean, I think it's a really good option for a lot of small businesses, but for them to focus on building tools for the small business and not like a scheduling, you know, app for salons, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's just not their center of gravity. And by what they say, and despite that people have titles that say otherwise, you know, they say, you know, we're the small business team or whatever. It's just not Microsoft's center of gravity or focus. And that they mean well, mm-hmm. they've got the best of intentions, but it's just not where they end up landing because of that.
Yeah. And to be fair too, it's a complaint or it's a frustration that I have, but I don't hold that against Microsoft. I'm a firm believer that every business should be able to do whatever they want to be able to do. And if you can't say, you know, hey, look, our focus is to do this. We don't focus on anything else. People come to me, we want you to do a course on Teams development. I'm like, I'm not doing it anytime soon. Why? Because they're still playing crazy Ivan with their dev models, it seems, that I'm going to wait to take my time to invest. I'm going to wait to invest my time on when I see some stability in it before I invest all that effort. That's my priority. Oh, no, but we really need you to do a Teams development course. I'm like, great. That's not my, I don't care. I don't want to do it. So I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And people can't hold that against me. I can't hold the Office 365 team in contempt for not having features that are and having an experience that's more apt for me as a small business or a solopreneur. And that's I don't hold that against them. So mm-hmm. I want to be clear about that.
Not fair enough.
So switching over from my second one, let's look at your second wish here. And I'm curious about this one because I don't know, I didn't really follow this one all that much. Your second wish is that Azure subscription management would be made simple and easy. And I think you were going on the model of, hey, if as an organization that is built on top of Azure, developers, different accounts, we have lots of Azure subscriptions, mm-hmm. and it's kind of hard to put my arm around all of them and to get a one-up picture of everything exactly. and then to be able to filter on each one. That's where you're going, right?
Yep.
Okay, so how'd they do?
I've kind of given up, honestly. Like, I haven't noticed any difference in this regard. And I'm sort of coming to the conclusion that Microsoft's forte is never making anything to do with billing or invoicing or paying easy. And it's like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing necessarily. I'm saying it's usually like that because they have lots, it's very complex. I understand it's complicated, right? They've got different types of businesses to build for. So for example, I'm sure it's easier if you're a large enterprise with one massive Azure EA.
Mm-hmm.
There's management and reporting tools and all that sort of stuff for that kind of thing. But it's not easy as a small ISV managing different subscriptions and credits on some and not on others and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so I just don't think anything's been done in this area for me anyway.
I wonder if there's a, you know, you say that the entrepreneur side of me is like, well, I wonder if there's an opportunity to have like a third party thing to do that because all the APIs are there for you to be able to detect this stuff. So would it be something that you would, a service that you would subscribe to do this? I mean, the other side of it is, do I want to invest my time there? Because that's something that Microsoft could all of a sudden come out and say, here you go. And it's, there goes my.
So ShareGate have a product, ShareGate Overcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Ben number 3 or 2. I can't remember which Ben it is. But anyway, ShareGate Overcast can help you with this, right? You connect up your subscriptions and it'll help you with your billing and monitoring of those subscriptions. And it'll also tell you where to go save money on them. That's kind of their payoff part. But yeah, there are third-party options for wrangling multiple subscriptions and billing across them and all that sort of stuff. But not easy to manage them. Like I want somewhere I can go, I want to make this new developer an owner of, or a you know, contributor on these subscriptions and a reader on this one and a blah, 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 you know, across multiple subscriptions. I think I have like 10 subscriptions or something. Anyway, okay.
Not fun.
Your last one, off the Office 365 theme, Apple, get back to the hardware revolution roots. Mac Pro, MacBook, MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I know that some people aren't going to agree with this, but I think they did. So I'm happy with what Apple did last year. The Mac Pro I was referring to the black trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that we still haven't seen an update to that one. But they said very early on last year, they came right out and said it's not going to be ready until 2019. I was hoping to see more details about it in 2018, but to their defense, they didn't say anything about it, and they said they weren't going to have anything for it until 2019. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this. I don't know if it's the same thing that I'm going to want, because I've looked at this. I want to do a tech refresh coming up this year, but I like the changes they made to the MacBook Pro. I like the changes they made to the MacBook Air that was so popular. I don't think that we're looking at getting my son a new laptop, and he wants to switch from Windows over to Mac, and but he also wants to do gaming, and so we're looking at, you know, a whole bunch of crap with that, just making sure that we make the right decision there. And I like the hardware updates that they did, you know, giving some laptops now can have more RAM, and they did the right thing with the CPUs, and they did a bunch of other changes there. So I know this year we did some updates in my house. I got a latest MacBook Pro. My wife got one. She got a 13-inch. I wish that 13-inch is like the perfect device to me, but
I'm really glad you said that, because I have one arriving today.
The 13-inch?
Yeah.
Oh, when they went to a quad core, that was the thing I was waiting for. And I've got a 15-inch of the latest model. I cannot wait to, what I would really like to do is be able to switch over to a 13-inch, but I need to have a way to still be able to do, with all the video work that I do for training, I still need to have something that has a discrete graphics card. And
yeah,
I'm seriously considering it. Before I thought it was get a 13-inch and the trash can Mac. And now I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe it's just the 13-inch and an external GPU. Have that set up. That's what we're looking at for my son, actually. Or we would do the laptop. He wants to get a gaming machine. He can pay for the external GPU. But going that approach to having just something, a smaller machine, more portable, her 13-inch is like the perfect size laptop.
Yeah, gotcha. If I were him, I'd get an iPad and a PC at home for gaming.
So
he can't bang for buck.
Well, and that, we're looking at that as well. I mean, if the iPad, it's funny because his age, he's 13, and you can't, with the amount of work that he does, I don't think power user work, like power user office and stuff, you're not very efficient on a Mac. Being able to just have a split screen with two windows isn't enough. So he's
with an iPad.
Yeah, it's not enough. So he needs a laptop. And so we're going between, he was looking at, I want to get a new laptop, but I also want to get a gaming PC, and because he wants to eventually be able to do like VR, his friends are doing VR stuff. I was like, well, yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot.
You can build a pretty sweet gaming rig at home for under $1,000.
So you can, but he needs to be able to have a laptop as well. And so I'm looking at, to me, I look and go, it seems wasteful to build a machine just for gaming that you're going to play on occasion, and then a laptop that you're not going to have that often. So like the idea right now, and I don't even know if this is really feasibly possible without spending too much time looking at VR headsets, but what I would like to do is get him a new MacBook Pro, and that's going to last him through high school. He'll be in high school next year. So give him a new MacBook Pro 13-inch that'll last through high school, and then having an eGPU set up in the playroom where he can go in and do his gaming stuff and plug that in, but he can disconnect and go in his bedroom and do his homework. I don't know if that's really feasible or not.
Let's see your cost benefit analysis of that.
It hasn't started yet, but I got to do it quick, because if we're going to do it, which thankfully he's not a listener of the show, his birthday's at the end of the month, and if we're going to do it, we want to do the laptop for his birthday. So I got to figure out, is this the right direction to go in? So
I reckon you could price a laptop and a gaming rig for the same price as that. But we'll see.
Maybe.
Be interested to hear. Where you land.
Okay, so that was my Apple refresh, back to hardware revolution roots. I thought they did a pretty good job with it this year. Yeah. Of course, there's always room for improvement, but yeah, I thought that I got my wish on that one.
I think they did well with their MacBook and MacBook Pro line. I was really impressed. Like, I think you're 100% right on that.
And the iPads too.
Well, the iPad for sure. Yeah, the new iPad Pros, really nice. They also cost as much as two gaming rigs for home. But anyway.
No kidding.
It's insane. But yeah, really great devices.
Your last one that we have here for your third wish that you had, which I know where this is going to go, but
we won't dig into all of the gory detail, but we'll just have a laugh about it. How about that?
You know, we don't have that much time.
Yeah, exactly.
The United States focuses on what's important and the facts versus a total circus.
Do we need to say any more? Like,
no.
It's been an absolute show. Pardon my French. So I don't think I got my wish. It was a very out there, outlandish wish. But yeah, I don't think it's been any less factual in the history of history, at least from my perspective. So yeah, I can keep wishing for this, but it's a total circus. Never mind.
Well, you can go politics all over the place. We can talk about Brexit and that side too. So
that's a complete, pardon my French, complete circus too. Like, yeah, the world's a circus right now. It's not just limited to the US.
Yeah.
We've got Australians putting backdoor and encryption technologies. We've got Brexit being madly pushed for seemingly pointless reasons that nobody really supports anymore. We've got the carnage that's going on in the US political system. We've got, oh man, it's all over the map.
So you mentioned the Australian thing. I got a quick little story here. I got myself in a little bit of trouble. I had to explain this, and I still feel like I'm not fully out of the like negative perception of somebody. So there's a family from my on the swim team where my kids swim, and she is from Brisbane in Australia, and her husband, I think, is from Mexico. I think anyway, he's not Australian. So I was talking to them, and I've been having conversations with some other people about the tech issues that have been going on, and we were talking about Australia, and it was always the joke was the Australians are into the back door and all that kind of stuff. So it was, you know, just trying to be kind of funny about it. And yeah, you know where this is going. And I made some comment along those lines or whatever in front of her, and I got this look on her face, and I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not what I meant. I had to pull my phone out right away, and I had to show her. I was like, this is where I'm referring to. And this is I didn't mean it the way that it sounded. I'm sorry. And it's like, I just came out of another work conversation. And yeah, I still get the look every once in a while, but yeah.
Foot, mouth, oops.
Yeah, that's not the way, not what I meant.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I can imagine that going down like a cup of cold puke.
Love your sayings, man.
Yeah. All right. Hey, well, I don't think we did very well in our wishes. We can keep hoping for this. We're going to do more wishes in a couple of weeks' time, looking ahead wishes. So maybe some of the same themes will come up. We will see. But stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we've got some picks to get going on. So why don't we hear from one of our great sponsors, and we'll be right back.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users in organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
All right, it's that time of the show. Why don't we lead with a listener pick?
I love it.
And the reason we're going to lead with a listener pick is we've got a new announcement we want to make about picks like this. So if you're a long-time listener of the show, a couple of months, a little while back, we backed a crowdfunding project called Soldo Keys, right? Which are hardware-based two-factor authentication FIDO keys, which let you use a little hardware dongle with great encryption and all that to do authentication with sites like Google and Facebook and GitHub and things like that, as well as now Microsoft is starting to get into this game with Microsoft account, and Azure AD is coming soon, apparently. Mm-hmm. So we backed this project and we got a bunch of these keys and we got them branded with Microsoft Cloud Show, and they've turned out great. We took delivery this past week. They look awesome without the Cloud Show stuff on them. if you just back the project normally, but they looked extra cool with Cloud Show branding, and they're in our color as well.
So I was shocked at this.
They just turned out great.
Yeah, they really did.
And so what we're going to do, we ummed and ahed about how we were going to give these away. And AC and I have decided we are going to give them away for kick-ass listener picks that you send into the show and or...
That we read out on the show.
That we read out on the show. Yeah. So if we pick your pick, we read it out on the show, we will send you one of our Microsoft Cloud Show solo keys that you too can use for to keep yourself secure with your logins on the internet.
Without CJ's backdoor.
Correct. No, we haven't put any backdoors on this key.
Don't know how to.
I'd have no idea. But the source, it's actually all open source anyway. You can go take a look at the code. Anyway, so listener picks that you send us in that we read on the show. Also, for not just if you think it's a pick, but if you think it's an interesting, not news item. We don't want people to send us news, but we want people to send us either picks or highlights that we bring up before we get into the news on the show. So that could be something like, hey, I found this really cool open source project, or have you seen this awesome gadget? That could be sort of a pick or a highlight, right? So get in contact through us, either through Twitter, through Facebook, or through the contact page on our website. And, does that form work?
I shut that down. So that we shut that form down because we were getting a lot of garbage being sent through it. So now...
Spam, that's right.
Yeah, but if you want to get in touch with us, we make it really easy. You can ping us on Facebook. You can ping us on Facebook through Facebook Messenger. You can ping us on Twitter. And a couple of things to add to like what CJ was saying. CJ and I watch, as you've seen, or if you listen to the show, you know that we have a bunch of links that we do talk about in our banter section, just fun stuff that we see. This is stuff that you're going to help bring to our attention. So it's not like something I wouldn't do like a news thing that is like a headline news thing that comes out from like Google or from AWS or from Azure and 365 or something.
We're going to find those anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Let's make it something that we haven't seen.
Correct. And if we pick your pick or highlight and we read it out in the show, you can too be the proud owner of a Microsoft Cloud Key, Microsoft Cloud Show authentication hardware solo key token thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And starting on that theme, we've got a good pick to kick things off from a listener who got in touch through Facebook, just sent us a private message through our Facebook page. Apologies, Jordan, if I read out your name incorrectly, but it's Jordan Eney, who sent us a message on Facebook, who listened to our show about wiring and my complications with finding out where wires go in the house. He sent us a great pick. He said, you can buy this stuff off AliExpress, right? AliExpress, the website, aliexpress.com. He sent us a link. There's a great set of tone sources, tone testers where you can hook things up to wires and find the other end of them. And it's incredibly cheap. Like for $20, you can pick one of these things up, $15, $12. I always go to Amazon first, but I sort of forget about sites like this where you can pick up all sorts of stuff like super cheap. So I thought that was a really good pick given our theme on the show. We talk about other stuff other than cloud computing. We talk about space stuff. We talk about home automation in particular. And I thought this was a really cool pick that he sent us. So thank you, Jordan, for your pick contribution.
It really was. It was really timely too, because I wasn't even aware of this site until about 2 days ago he submitted this in. Back to my security system thing, you have these little Wi-Fi boards that you put on top. They're stackable boards that you put on top of the connected device with the security system. That's how it talks to the rest of your network.
Yeah.
And the boards that come from the company from Connected, they went with a very standard base board. So to keep costs down, they get the board, they buy them in bulk, and then they turn around, they flash them with the software, and then you can buy it from them for like $19. So I've had two of my boards have gone bad. So I've had to go back. I had to order two new boards. One of them was replaced for free. One I had to buy. But they give you all the stuff that you need to go ahead and put your own, to flash the board with your own software or the firmware that they provide. Same thing that they do for you. And I found on AliExpress that the exact same board that they buy, instead of me paying $19 for, I found that you could buy them for $3 a piece. So I've got about five of these coming just in case, because these Wi-Fi boards are known to die. So I've got a handful of them coming just in case. Like right now I'm set with 25% of my home security system isn't working because of one of the boards is dead and I'm waiting for a replacement. So just be having a couple of new boards that are just there that I can just swap out if it dies.
Nice. Yeah, this is cool. There's a lot of stuff I could put off the site. So Jordan, we will get in touch and get a address and contact info for you. And we will send you out one of our hardware tokens. Congrats on being the first listener.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jordan.
AC, have you got a good pick for us this week?
I do. I have a fun one. You know the Roomba?
Robots?
The Roomba vacuum? Yeah, the robot vacuum?
Yeah.
You know what's really cool? Remember the game Doom?
Oh, yeah.
You know how you can make your own Doom maps? There's like a map builder that you can do?
Yeah.
So...
where is this going?
Well, let me give you the title of the article from TechCrunch. Let your new Roomba build a Doom level of your house with Doomba.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
By combining Doom with Roomba, this developer named Rich Whitehouse, realized that he would not only be able to make something fun, but to, quote, unleash a truly terrible pun to plague humankind, to wit, Doomba. It works like this. Though if you don't have a Roomba 980, there's no guarantee it'll work at all. Using a special utility, your PC will detect the Roomba on your wireless network and begin tracking its movements and collect data. When the little robot has done its work, the data is saved in a file, which you can then convert to a Doom WAD via Doomba, a plugin for this thing that he's built. Basically, it lets your Roomba map out your house, and then he uses that file to create a Doom map of your house.
Good grief. This is amazing.
It's awesome.
That's so cool. That's crazy. Oh, man, I want to buy a Roomba just so I could do this.
Oh, no kidding.
Imagine that. Wow, that's awesome.
I wonder how smart it is if it finds a dog.
Now it'd be cool as if you could put on your virtual reality goggles, glasses, or whatever you want to call them, and go play Doom immersed in your own house because you'd know your way around. Pretty sweet.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. It's fun. How about you?
I've got a quick article to talk about. It's called The Largest Launch Vehicles Through History. And it's kind of a nice long article about the history of space launch vehicles and some of the really big machines that we've put into space across the US and Soviet space race, as well as more modern ones as well. You know, it's just a nice timeline of some really big things that we've lobbed into space.
This is really
cool read, really fun read if you're into space. So it talks about some vehicles that never came to be, that didn't really, I was going to say take off, but they did. They were cut short. How about that? Like Buran, the Russian version of the shuttle, for example, made one flight, things like that. So yeah, really cool. Lots of nice imagery and a really interesting history if you want to learn more about these vehicles.
Yeah, this is really cool. It's funny you kind of say this too. The last night, sat down and finally got my kids to watch a space movie that I've been dying to get them to watch for the longest time. And I didn't expect them to love it. I just wanted to share it with them. And they both freaking loved it.
Awesome.
Contact.
Yeah, I thought that was coming. I know you're a big Contact fan. Yeah. That's a good idea, actually. I haven't watched it in a long time. So I should do that.
That's a good pick, CJ. I like this one. I haven't seen this one.
Yeah, I just came across it the other day and thought, huh, I'm going to bookmark that. Excellent. Well, that was a good 2018 wrap-up. We will go forward to larger and better things, looking forward to 2019 soon. Next week, I'm going to be in New Zealand recording our show. So if I sound quiet and distant, that'll be why. On the other side of the world from you. But we're going to get together. We're going to get a show done on our home automation projects. So stay tuned for that one.
Sounds good, man. I'm looking forward to it. So until then, safe travels down under.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.